Good to see everyone out the house of the Lord this morning. And enjoyed the young ladies singing. Enjoyed your brothers singing. Amen. I enjoyed all the singing. And that's part of church for me. I don't know about you. I used to sing all the time, but after I had this problem with my heart, they give me some medicine. And I have to watch it, or if I sing too much, I'll get to coughing. And hopefully I'll get over it one of these days. And but seems like I'm kind of falling apart slowly. I have to help come up over on the side. I was thinking about how spiritual it seems anymore to me when they say, let's stand and pray. Because I labor to get down and I labor to get up. And I think about how, I don't know where that went to. I just seemed like yesterday, when I kneeled to pray there, when I started to get up, I never did just stand up. I just grabbed that with my arms, you know, and I just pushed myself, and I'd be on my feet, just shove myself from kneeling down, I'd be up on my feet. And now it's one foot, then the other, you know. So, we was talking about having an altar service after. I thought when Brother, is it Cordell? Am I saying that right? Brother Cordell, when he was preaching, I thought, if you're feeling like you need to pray, we can have an altar service right now. Amen. If you feel the need of prayer, we can have that altar service right now. Because that's the important thing, is if you get help from the Lord. And I'm hoping there's somebody here this morning that is lost. And I'm hoping that God's dealing with you concerning your need. Amen. Well, good to see everybody out this morning. I won't try to call all your names, but it's good to see you. And besides, there's some of you I don't know. Just like I've seen you, but I don't know your names. And it's a privilege to be back with you here at Keene Mountain. Always good to be in Virginia. This is the only place that I still have a little popularity, and I'm so glad it's here, because I don't care so much about you, but I love your mountains. I'm kidding. I love you people, amen. Virginia has been probably better to me than anywhere else in the world. I might ought to move down here, but I don't think that'd be wise either. All right, I better get into this. Yesterday I just was pretty relaxed. My wife wasn't here, so I didn't have a monitor. Amen. You know, so but today the monitor's here, so I better get to going, because I've already got some minutes stacked up I'm going to count for that I really haven't made much use for. Amen. Amen. I don't know if this ain't spiritual, but whatever. I think she's here. Brother Cordell was talking about that fella saying, why did you give the key? He said, well, he asked me for it. That struck me funny. I thought about years ago when we didn't have no air conditioner. I was asleep one night and heard this car stop. I tell these men are drunk getting out of this car, you know what I mean? It's just down from my wind a little bit. I got up, I was kind of thought, what in the world's going on? We're going to have problems here, you know, no telling what. About that time, I heard a big old boy say, I'm going to whip you and make you like it. And another fellow said, a real high voice, said, you may whip me, but I ain't going to like it. I fell over the floor laughing. I said, go to sleep. Yeah. All right, 15th chapter, book of St. Luke. Praise God. 15th chapter, book of St. Luke, 11th verse. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted substance with riotous living. When he'd spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, but no man gave to him. Now, you may be like I always was. I wondered if it's a famine word, they'd get the husk. I was thinking like wheat husk. But they tell me that's off of a tree. It's kind of like our acre. It's not like that, but something like it. Hogs would eat it. And that's what he is trying to get his belly full of, if you get the hogs out of the way. And so I just mention that because that always gave me a problem with where those husks came from. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hard servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hard servants. And he arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Now, this won't mean anything to you. It's no nothing that probably interests you. But I like this. This young man, whenever he's deciding to come home, he said, my father's hard servants. And according to what I read, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but they tell me in the Greek that it was those hard servants were those itinerating people that came through, and they used them for the season, and they moved on. But then when he come down to where the servants were, where the father got the servants, that's a servant that's been born in the father's house. He's completely committed to that man's will. He's completely committed to his Lord's will. Whatever his Lord wants, that's what he wants. Yeah. Now, when you get down to where the servant was, he called one of the servants. This elder brother called one of the servants. That was a young son of one of the servants. Just one of the kids playing outside, you know, and he called that servant, that son. You may like that, but I kind of like that. All right. And asked him what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother has come. Thy father has killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son has come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and was lost and is found. May God add his blessing to reading the word. I want to preach of this today if I can. I know that you may be getting kind of tired of this, but some time ago, I felt like the Lord dealt with me to use this down here. And so I'm just trying to follow the will of the Lord. So if it wears you out, I'm sorry, I don't mean to. But I think about how, and I want to get back to this in a minute, but I think about how that God wants to reach the lost. There's something that you know as well as I do in the book of Isaiah in the first chapter and in the 18th verse. Says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now then, when he said that, the father said, there's two ways that I'm going to try to reach you. First of all, he said, I'm going to try to reach you by showing you mercy and letting you repent because of my mercy. Verses 16 and 17 and 19, wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil you're doing from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you don't allow the Father to come in his tender mercy, there's a possibility that he will purify you through judgment. Verse 20, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So we got the Father reaching for us different ways because he loves us and he wants to save us. One other thing, I don't know if I may be getting ahead of myself, but, you know, this reclaiming someone, he also restores. And Joel, he said, and I will restore you to the years that locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmworm, my great army, whence I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty, be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. You shall know that I am the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. So I'm talking to you this morning about this prodigal son. I just read you that because I want you to see that if you are a prodigal, God wants to reclaim you and restore you. Amen? Now, I hope you'll accept my feeble way of trying to reach you with this, but this whole discourse was because of something they said about Jesus. They said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. They tell me, and I know that you know that, when you see that receiveth, meant he constantly was doing that. He eateth, he was constantly doing that. It also tells me that word for receiveth is a Greek word that not only means receiveth, it means acceptance, but it goes farther than that. It's like you were in a like an army that overcome a city, and that city yielded and surrendered, and there's great spoil in that city, and you went in there with great joy, and you began to reap the spoil of the battle. Amen. Yeah. And so he's saying this man, amen, it's to him, every time he gets around those sinners, he acts like it's something wonderful has happened. It's like he's found a treasure or something that he don't want to turn loose of. He receiveth and eateth them. He constantly is always enjoying, amen, finding them, and he loves their fellowship. Amen. Amen. So we can see here that when they were talking about this, that's what they said. And so he gives them something to talk about, you know, and he starts it. If I can help you, I want to. I don't know if I can. But in Luke 15, 4 and 7, we have the lost that are aware, but they're helpless to do anything about it. He's looking for them. Brother John told me something. I wish I'd known it yesterday when I was preaching. He said, sheep, when they become lost, they become disoriented, and they cannot find their way home. Once they become disoriented, they will starve to death because they can't recalculate and go home. Amen. So here's that lost one that's out there that's lost, and he's finding them. In Luke 15, 8 through 10, the lost who are not aware, it's that coin that looks just like everybody else, and it's the church constantly looking and trying to help that one that's drifting away. It's the work of the church to keep the light. You wonder why people push for a service? Amen. I've been in church services where they push. I could tell they were pushing. They shouted, but they were pushing. They ran, but they were pushing. They were doing everything. And I can think of a service I was in not too long ago, amen, where the church, we were having great services. But Brother Mike, that morning, Sunday morning, when the Holy Ghost came in, and just all of a sudden begin to move all over the building. Amen. It was worth every bit of the light that we lit. Huh? Hallelujah. It's that wonderful thing that comes when the Holy Ghost comes in and begins to go across the crowd. So, amen, whenever we light a candle and we're searching, you may say, well, they're putting too much in it. They're not putting too much in it. They're doing everything they can because they know there's a God in heaven that has a move of the Holy Ghost for them. And they know that once that Holy Ghost comes, amen, there will be hearts warmed and melted and lives changed. And for that reason, amen, we don't sit around and just wait for something to do, amen, but we sacrifice the fruit of our lips, amen, the praise that belongs unto God. We sacrifice. We may not feel like it. It may hurt us. It may be at a time when things aren't going well, but we're in church, amen, and we want to rejoice with them, rejoice. If they're weeping in the altar, we want to weep, but we want to have church. We want to honor God. We want to lift up the name of Christ. We want to see God move, amen. Praise the Lord. So the church, that bride, amen, that's a part of her dowry. And I want to tell you, my friend, amen, it's a part of our dowry, amen, to help those that are drifting away and help those out in sin, those out in darkness, amen. It's part of our dowry to reap them. I was reading the other day about Charles Finney. There was a church somewhere, I can't even remember what he talked about, but he said they got scared. This church got scared and got nervous if somebody wasn't getting saved every week. Amen. They get all upset and they get scared. They think, what the world? They get to push it harder because they wanted to see somebody saved once a week, at least somebody saved. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had that same opinion and feeling? I'd like to see somebody saved. I can remember going to church, amen, when you expected to see people saved. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now, then we have Luke 15:11-32. Just read it to you. The lost who come to themselves. Hallelujah. They come to themselves. Ah. In Luke 15:4-10, we have the reaction of the saints in heaven to the lost being found. I believe that. I really do. Remember, somehow, I know I'm not doing very good, I can tell, but anyway, I'm doing the best I can. But there's something I want to say when Jesus, you remember Nicodemus, he didn't know he was lost. He had no idea he was lost. Jesus said, you must be born again. So what in the world are you talking about? Amen. But Jesus said something there in the 13th verse that I want you to listen. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Amen. So Jesus knows how the reaction in heaven by those saints that have gone on. He knows the reaction in heaven when the blood is applied to some soul down here. He knows how heaven rejoices. He knows how heaven is blessed. Amen. And so we can see here, amen, we can see the reaction of those in heaven, the lost being found. And so then we come down here to Luke 15:25-32, and we see the reaction of the saints on earth to the lost being found. Big contrast, isn't it? Huh? Big contrast. Heaven's rejoicing, and we're being selective. Huh? Heaven's rejoicing, but we're being selective. If that's my son, I'd be happy, but that's my brother, and I don't care. Huh? I'm trying to preach. I know that I'm not doing good, but I'm trying to preach you this morning about the fact, amen, that this lost boy, this lost man, this one that come to back to the Father, amen, his brother didn't appreciate it. I tried to create a different scenario about that than him just coming and eating and drinking. I'll tell you, you know what would have made that brother happy? If he'd have come in and he looked back and he saw the little old dim light off down there and where one of those hard servants that come through those little cabins. You don't get any picture of that, but I used to when I was a boy in Arkansas down in the bottoms. We had cotton pickers that come in, lived in little old shacks, you know, and they'd stay there in those little shacks just the barest of necessity and pick cotton. They'd come out of the hills up there where I was raised, and they'd go down there and spend the fall picking cotton and living very, very meager lives because the fact is they want to save all their money, come back home, and have enough money to get them through the winter. And so they lived in those little old shacks, and that's where they picked their cotton. And so if that a son would have come in and looked out there and seen off down there in the distance, he'd say to that servant, a little old boy run around there, and say, son, what's that light doing off down over there? Oh, your brother come home. Oh, he did. Yeah, and Dad told him to go down and take with those hard servants. take him a room down there. Oh, well, I'll be ready to give him a job in the morning. Go home, sit down to eat his dinner, you know, and sitting there eating, amen. He tells his wife and children, said, guess what? Uncle John came home. I knew he'd get back. It's been years, but I knew he'd come back. Come back with his tail tucked between his legs like a whipped dog. He's off down there now, living in one of those hard servants. I'll tell you one thing about it. Tomorrow, when we go out to work, I'm going to see he's there by sunup. And I'm going to see when the sun goes down, he's still working in the fields. And I'm going to teach him what the word means when it says the way of a transgressor is hard. When I get through, he'll know all about that. He'd been very satisfied with it. He'd handle that. The wife probably said, now, that's your brother. Don't you think? I'll tell you one thing, no brother of mine act like that. I disowned him the day he left the church. I don't care what happens, he's going to learn it the hard way. He ain't coming back in here like he left. He's coming back in just like he should come back in. A hard servant. That would have satisfied that saint. That would have satisfied that saint if he'd come back like that. Amen. It would have made him happy. He'd felt good about it. But to have him come back and now shout about it, have people run around the church about it, have people dancing up and down the aisles about it, why, I ain't having that. You say, Brother Barnett, I don't believe that. I'm telling you, I'm an old enough man, I've seen it, amen. I've seen them in the altars praying and people standing back just having kind of their lip curled and thinking, what are they doing back here, amen. I've seen them. You remember Brother Buzzard talking about years ago, he was preaching, told about he was at a church where this woman come in, she's all, amen, painted and bejeweled, and she'd come to the altar to pray and cry, amen, and nobody would pray with her. Finally, Brother Buzzard and his wife got up and prayed with her. They prayed with her one night, I think they prayed with her two nights in that revival. The third night she didn't show up, and the pastor's wife got up and said, well, I'm glad at one thing, we've got rid of that, now we can get a going and have church. Heaven is wanting to shout, and the saints is wanting to pout. Because they didn't want that one to be saved.
Come on,
I'm trying to talk to you about heaven's reaction to saints. You know, the Bible doesn't give no stipulations. When Jesus talking about that lost sheep, he said, just lost sheep. When he talked about that lost coin, just a lost coin. But now he brings it down. It's a prodigal son. It's a brother. It's somebody we know. It's not just something out there, amen, that's been put out there, something for thought, amen. It's real life, brother, amen. And heaven's standing waiting to see how the church is going to accept this move of God that's reaching out. That lost boy, man, one boy, girl, that's wasted their life in sin. Woo! Glory be to God. I want to tell you something. That old boy that come to himself. Thank God he had something to come to himself about. Hallelujah. He knew something about what he left. You remember the Bible said in Romans, the third chapter, I've got it written down, I don't think that's right, but I'll look and say, yes it is. Romans 3rd chapter, let me just read that. Paul's writing. This is a group of people that he's prayed for. He said they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about establishing their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Talking about the Jews. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God day and night is that Israel might be saved. Amen. Because they have lost out with God. And talk all about them. But listen, what he said. He said, what? He said in the 3rd chapter, what advantage hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Hallelujah. You take somebody, you may have thought you was wasting your time. You spent years teaching them. You spent years training them. Amen. They may be your son. They may be your daughter. They may be a nephew, what have you. Amen. They may be out there in sin, but remember this. They've got something something in them that when the burden gets heavy and the drought comes, there's something in them that tells them there's a better way because of something they got way back there that may call them out of that darkness into God's marvelous light. I'm talking about the prodigal son coming home that wasted his substance and riotous living. Glory be to God. You didn't waste your time. It wasn't wasted. I was thinking about years ago when I was in the service, going to the Assembly of God in Junction City, Kansas. Max Manning was our evangelist, a little short guy, come in to hold us a revival. I asked him, I said, could we go around and visit the bars? Amen. I don't know why. That's where I used to spend all my time, and I thought I'd like to just go around and invite people out to church. He said, I'd be glad to do it. We went in there and just there in that little tavern they were, and the people drinking, what have you. Walked up and handed the lady a track, invited her out to church, the barmaid, and invited her out, invited everybody else who could. One lady said, I ain't going to take that, I'm a Catholic. And that barmaid said, I'm a Catholic too, but I was courteous enough to accept his invitation. Amen. So she said, give it to me. I gave it to her. We walked this old boy, he's playing the shuffleboard, an old tall boy. Amen. Years on his face. He's an old man. He was probably 60. Now he'd be a young man. But anyway, he's there playing that shuffleboard. He walked up, and Brother Max Manning said, we're having church down here at the Assembly of God. Told him the address. We'd like to invite you out to revival. Would you come? He said, said, you don't somebody like me. And Brother Max Manning put his arm around his shoulder and said, we love you. And God loves you, and we want to have you. You know what happened to him? He got real still. Tears started trickling down his cheek, and he said, I had a praying mom. I had. That's a prodigal out there, but he can come to himself. Hallelujah. He can come to himself. Aren't you glad of that? Hallelujah. The Bible says that he wasted his living. He wasted everything he possessed in riotous living. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But somewhere he come to himself and he made his way back to God's recycling center. Hallelujah. And God said, I'll recycle you. Amen. And I'll make something out of you. Amen. Not too long ago, I went to visit a guy I'd been praying for him for 6 years. I said, God, he backslid. The preacher, he just dropped out. And he backslid, and he was such a kind, considerate person. I couldn't figure it out. I prayed for 6 years, and one day the Holy Ghost spoke to me and gave me one word. That was his problem. Amen. I said, I'll go talk to him. I went out there, and he wasn't there. I said, must have not been the Lord. But you see, I didn't have all I needed from God. So I prayed about it another week. And that next Saturday, I went back out to see him, and this time God began to deal with me. And I went in there, and I told him, I said, I've come to you. Amen. I've been praying for you for 6 years, and God finally told me what your problem is. And I told him that word. I said, just gave him what he told me. He looked at me and kind of nodded his head. Amen. I said, I want to tell you something. There's something else that may be bothering you. You used to preach, and you're wondering what you'll do if you want to get back, Lord. I want to tell you about the potter. God told me to tell you about the potter and the potter's clay, amen, and how that they lost something, and that something can never be replaced. But God made something out of it that pleased him. It may not be God's will for you to preach, but it's God's will for you to get back to the Lord. Amen. It's God's will for you to get saved. It's God's got a plan for you, and he's making something out of you that be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet to match use. Amen. He didn't get saved, but when I got the door, he walked over. Amen. In a soft voice, he put his arm around it. He said, Brother Charles, come back anytime. Anytime. I'm telling you, there's some people out there, amen, that prodigals, but they need God, and they need to be aware of the fact that should they come back, they won't have to face a bunch of elder brothers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish I'd have had this. I've been around. I know these two preachers did the best they could. Years ago, Gerald Green, and why do you say it, Brother Charles? Because I'll tell you what. The devil will lie to you and keep you out of God's kingdom if he can. years ago, Brother Gerald Green and L.L. Collins, L.L. Collins still alive, you know him. Amen. Just young preachers walking down the streets of Theron, just outside the office of Dr. Cooper, there stood a man weeping. They walked up and talked to him, said, "What's wrong?" Said, "The doctor told me I've just got a short time to live. My life's about over." And they said to him about being saved. And they said, "Can we come out and pray with you?" He said, "Yeah." I told him where he lived. They went back in the hills of Arkansas there, little old shack. The man had a stove, and he'd got it out of the junkyard. He'd had to take rocks and put under it for legs, amen, to try to heat his house and cook with, amen. In the corner, he had the sacks over leaves. That's what he was sleeping on. And he told them the story how, as a young man, he was gifted with speech, and God moved in his life, and he was living for the Lord. And one day, he began to feel an attraction to become a barker in the circus because people began to notice how well he could manage word. And he left the church and became a barker in the circus. Amen. He said, "I had friends. I had fame. I had popularity. I had money." Amen. And then he said, "I got whatever is wrong with my throat. And I got to where I couldn't use that voice anymore." And when he got through, amen, with that, and when the money left me, then all my friends left me and said, "Finally, I had to come back out in this hills here and find me this old shack. That's all I got. I got no money. I've got no friends." Amen. Brother Gerald and Brother Collins prayed with him all that afternoon. They didn't get him saved, but I'll tell you what. I'd like to have been there. I'd like to have told him about the prodigal son. I'd like to have told him that God's got a recycling plant. Amen. If I can get you back, I can get you reclaimed. Hallelujah. I'd like to have told him how that God specializes in people that can't do a thing in the world but turn to God, just like a thief on the cross when he had nothing to offer God except a bag for mercy. Amen. And God said, "I'll take you." Amen. And he laughed just like he'd found spoil, and he rejoiced over the fact that, amen, he cheated the devil out of one more soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now, there's a man who has a boy. Used to ride to church. He's 50-some years old. I don't know what they used for a church bus, van, or whatever it was, but he was so ornery. I talked to a man, hauled him to church, and he said, "We'd haul him to Sunday school. I never could catch him, but said when I'd get out, I'd have to go wash the tobacco juice off the side of my van because he'd spit tobacco juice out the window. Said I knew it was him, but I couldn't catch him. And he's just a problem in every way. And said, finally, when he quit the church, he acted like he hated me." Amen. He'd done everything he could do. Years went by. He went from a teenager. He's 50-some years old. Just lately found out he's had cancer. He'd moved across to a city, and he's over another part of the country over there. But he got to know another preacher over there, another holiness preacher. Good man. I'd call his name, but I wouldn't want to take anything from this. But anyway, that holiness preacher went in to see him, begin to visit with him. He prayed through, said, "When I get able, I'll be to church." Amen. He's dying with cancer. You know what? I'm glad that somebody hauled him to church when he's a boy. What advantage it does these children have at go to church? Much in every way. Hallelujah. There's scriptures that suck in their mind. There's scenes that they remember seeing in the church. There's folks that had confidence that watched them praise and worship God. Amen. They may be out there. They may be laughing right now. But when the lights go out, it gets dark. Amen. And it gets still and there's no one there around. Amen. They'll come and echo from the other shore. That echo from the glory shore where saints of God were visited by those saints in heaven. Amen. And we made to sit together in heavenly places and they felt the power and the presence of God. I'm telling you, all is not vain. All is not lost. There is a God in heaven that specializes in saving people when the world don't have any use for them and the devil's run their life. They don't have any talent left. But there's a God in heaven that specializes in saving those kind of people and giving them eternity with him. Hallelujah. He wasted all of his substance. Amen. Whatever he could have done, he wasted. Amen. Whatever he could have done. We think of the singers that sing and they're using their voice for the devil, but they learned it in church. But I want to tell you something. If they sung every song they could sing and they had done everything they could do for the world. And then they got throat cancer, and they couldn't sing another word. There's a God in heaven who in tender mercy, when they come to themselves, says, I'll take them. I'll take them. I'll take them. Hallelujah. You see, the Father, amen, he didn't want to chastise him. He wanted music and dancing. My son is dead, is alive again. He's lost and he's found. Hallelujah. I'm thinking about a woman, amen. Young girl went to church, amen. She had a special ability with her feet, amen. It just in her to dance. She had that grace, that beauty of a dancer, amen. She left this church and went out in the world. She danced and she danced and she danced. And everybody enjoyed being around her, but something happened to her, amen. And today she comes into church. She's in a wheelchair. Her legs have been cut off. She don't have no dancing anymore. She'll never dance for the Lord. She got a sweet spirit. She got a good voice, good testimony, man. But every church service, she rolls in there. Amen. When the world had used her up and didn't have no more use for her, God said, come on back. Bring your wheelchair. Hallelujah. Bring your wheelchair. And she rolls in. Amen. It might be a possibility if she could dance right now. She might go back to the world. I don't know. But God is mercy. See, God said, amen, I'll let you come in mercy. I'll let you come in judgment. Amen. But I'm going to bring you home if I can. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying she wouldn't go back to the world. She might do it. But I'm telling you, it can't be done. Amen. And for that reason, she gives her testimony and her presence. Lord, I'm talking about prodigals that God reaches out for. Amen. They come to themselves and realize, amen, there is a God in heaven, and maybe he'll have mercy on me one more time, and he did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if that's helping you or not, but it helps me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. When my son just walked away from God after God delivered him from alcoholism, give him a good testimony. Went with me different places. Hazard, Kentucky. Different places. Paducah, Kentucky. Testified. People prayed because of his testimony. And then he just walked away from God. Now he's starting on his ninth year without any legs to work. No fingers to move. He can't walk away from nothing. Amen. He's completely at the mercy of whoever's taking care of him. But do you think God will just throw him away? No, he can't go in those bars anymore. He can't go out with those others anymore. Amen. In fact, the others have all left him. He's just at home. But there's a God in heaven. Hallelujah. That's in the recycling business. Hallelujah. He reclaims. He restores. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. One time he felt like he's called to preach. His voice is gone. He can't ever preach. Used to, he sang. People love to hear him sing. Last song ever, I told you this before, but it's just on my mind. The last song I know ever sung out in this world was down on the Front Street Tavern when he had his guitar down there. They had a guitar. And a man told me, said, man, your son can sing. I said, you heard him sing? Yeah, I heard him sing down Front Street. What did he sing? I'd rather be in a deep, dark grave, know that my poor soul was saved, than to live in the house of silver and gold. How's it? Deny my God and do my soul. What good is gold and your silver too, if your heart toward God not good and true? Oh, sinner, hear me when I pray. Better fall down on your knees and pray. Brother Mike, he can't sing that no more. That's the last time. Where'd he get that? He got it from a boy that a man heard him sing in church, in the Holiness Church, when he's 17 years old. And that boy, that man said, I'll come with me. I'll make you a star. And he went to his mama and said, Mama, and she said, no. You ain't going. You're staying in church. He looked at that man and said, come back next year, I'll be 18. And the man came back. Amen. And he made him a star. He made him a star. And he became a great star. Everybody loved his sayings. He's king of country music. Amen. He visited with a woman down in Tennessee at a music store, his friend of his. And he was bad to drink. He was on drugs, drinking real bad. I don't know about the drugs, but drinking. This woman told him, she called him a name and said, why don't you quit drinking? He said, if I quit drinking, I'll have to get saved. And if I get saved, God will call me to preach. And if I preach, they'll take all my records off the jukebox. And I'll not be king of country music anymore. Amen. And so, Hank Williams died in the back seat of a car, going to another place for another appearance. He left a song behind that my son sung in the bars. But they can't sing. But there is a God. There is a God that when you come to yourself, he's willing to take you back. Hallelujah. 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 He'll save the lost that's confused, don't know where they're going, just bleeding, crying for help. He saves that one that's not aware they're lost. Amen. They look just like everybody else in the church, but they've lost out with God. They're cold and different, have no feeling. He'll save them. Or he'll save that one been raised in church under the moving of the Spirit, and yet they chose to go out. But when they come themselves and they begin to realize, this is not what I thought it'd be. This is not what it's cracked up to be. Thank God for a time that we had. You know, I hated my son like he is, but I'm glad I raised him in church. I'm glad I raised him to know the power and the presence of God. I'm glad I raised him in a place where he could hear the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd rather raise him like that as I raised him out there in the world. I'd rather raise him like that. Thank God. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've done my best. Lord, I don't know anyone here, but if there's one here this morning, their life is wasted. Their talent is gone. They don't have the ability to do the things they used to do. Actually, they really don't have anything to do as far as any specialty, but they're still alive and they're under the sound of my voice. Father, I want you to reach out to that one and tell them, why don't you come home? Amen. Just remember, amen. You know where you came from. You come to yourself right now. This preacher has reached you, and you've come to yourself, and you know that I love you, and I wouldn't have sent this message to you. I love you, and I want you to come home this morning. I want you to come back to me, and let me restore the joy of your salvation and give you joy and gladness down in your heart. Come back to me. Let me give you a hope of eternity. Lord, help that one that you're speaking to this morning. While head is bowed, no one looking around, may I ask you a question? You all look saved to me. I don't know anything about it, but if you're here this morning and you've been drifting, or you have drifted, or you're too far, I was praying this morning. I said, oh God, send me somebody this morning. Their life is wasted. They ain't got a thing to offer you but just the empty shell. Lord, just send me that one out this morning and help them, Lord, to find a place of prayer and pray through and get saved. Is there one this morning